Nau mai, hoki mai ki te kōnei ipurangi a tōku reo. Kei konei, o kao, ko tēnei te hōtaka tuarua. Episode 2 of the Kōnei Ipurangi podcast, tōku reo. Ko Leonie Hayden, rawa ko Chelsea Wynn Stanley, ngā manuhiri I tēnei rā. These are our guests, Chelsea and Leonie. Tēnā kōrua.
Tēnā koe hoa.
Kei te pēhea kōrua I tēnei rā.
Oh, he ngenge anau.
Ai, mea hau hoki. Kua ki taku henge ngaro, he maha na kupu, he maha na rerenga, Māori.
Pai tō reo hea tā.
Engari, kei te ora, kei te ora.
Ai, nui te ora.
Nui te ora. Ko te pātai tuatahi, the first question, ko wai koe? Ko wai koe no hea koe? So many of our nuku listeners will be familiar with you, Chelsea, as you are one of our nuku wahine. Many will still probably be familiar with you, Leonie, as the famous editor of the spin-off Ātea, host of the spin-off TV, and many other writing accolades. First female editor of Mana magazine.
All right.
So, because this is your whare, and we're going to do tā utu utu, kawa.
All right, pai te kawa.
We'll start with you. Ko wai koe no hea koe.
Kia ore hua, ko Leonie Kapia Hayden tōku ingoa. He uri ahau no Ngāti Whātua ki Kaipara, ko Ngāti Rango, te hapū. Ingari I te pua ki ai te taha o te Waitemata kei Devonport. Ai, he whāngai ahau, he whāngai Pākehā, kaore he whāngai Māori, he rereke. So I didn't grow up in te ao Māori with my reo, although bless her, my solo adopted Pākehā mother did send me to Kōhanga. And then, of course, the rest of my schooling was pure whiteness. so I, ko ahau tēnei.
Kia ora. A ko wai koe te puti puti o tauranga?
O tēnā koe.
O te puna, ne?
Ai, kia ora, te puna to spring. Ai, tēnā koe ki ane. Tēnā koe Leonie, namahi nui kia koe. Mō tēnei mahi, kei roto I tō whare. Ko wai au, nauri o Ngaitirangi me Ngātirangi Nui, ōku iwi, I tupu aki au ki Mauao, ki te taha te tētahi, i a rā, I haere au ki te kaukau, I haere te whakatoi kei roto I te moana. Engari, I tupu aki au, ki Mauao, engari ka haere au, I haere au ki te kura tuarua, ki Tamaki Makaurau. In aina I noho ana au.
Hai. E kite ana mātou, kite kōrero Māori. I've just want to acknowledge that we, I don't want to say seamlessly, but fairly effortlessly, have just spent the first however many minutes of our podcast. Kōrero I te reo Māori. How does that feel?
Mīharo. I te tīmata o tēnei tau, he mataku, he āwangawanga nā te mea iti nā kupu Māori. Engari, mohio au kurua ka haere ki te kura rumaki reo. Oh, he pai, he taku nākau, kaore he pau, 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 pau. and mohio au, my rerenga and my kupu are still whakahapas everywhere.
Whakahapa.
But I think I don't care anymore. Like, I'm okay to just make mistakes all over the place, because one of the things our kaiako talks about all the time is like maumahara koto, he koto. Like this is only your, what are we in, wakitua iwa pia. So just be kinder on yourselves, because you've spent your whole lives and whole adult lives, all of 46 years. Yeah, I'm reaching the 50. I te reo Pākehā. So I mohi o reo Pākehā. Wouldn't say I smashed English by any means. I think I just got there with school seat. But, we know that. We speak it all the time. It's around us everywhere. So I think I've kind of letting the whakamā and the shame around what would have stopped me maybe before about even speaking, because I'd be so embarrassed about making hapas everywhere. I don't care anymore. Yeah. Like, I want people to correct me. I want people to āwhi my journey, because I'm not here just for myself. I'm here to do this for my babies who are at a kura. They're going to a Māori immersion unit here, and I have to have something at home for them, because it's not fair for them just to go in that safe space of kura and then go outside those gates and everywhere Pākehā katoa, no matter right. what, you know. We don't have bilingual signage in most places or anything. We're so like, oh, come on. So I'm not doing it just for me, I'm doing it for them. And so that's a driving factor for me, for my mum, who probably we've all got this in our whānau, their generation, who didn't get that ill because their parents were of that generation that got smacked out of them at school. So this is massive, like, just yummy feelings all the time. And I just love going to kura, and it's a new whānau, you know, you just all these cool peeps in the class. Of course I'm muki muki kia kura, because I don't get to see you fellas apart from lunch times, and then you're just like half an hour trying to hit the kai and
smash down the kai.
Yeah. But yeah, man, I don't know. I just feel, someone said to me, I think it was Kitty Nathan, there's this shift that happens, not in terms of like knowing the language yet and fully feel sweet as about talking and strong in my reo to have a decent conversation with, say, the likes of Stacey Morrison or something like that, but just feeling better and knowing where I'm at in my journey.
Mm. It's nice to be reminded, like you did just now, of how far we've come, because it is really easy to get blinded by what you don't know yet. It's just this constant like fog on the horizon of, oh, I know this, but I don't know that. I don't know enough. I can't say this. I can't say that. Mm. And then, yeah, you have a chat with someone and then you're just like, oh, I actually just had a conversation for 10 minutes in Te Reo Māori. That's something I couldn't do 3 years ago.
I was texting my cousin 2 nights ago, and there wasn't even the intention to text I Te Reo Māori, and I can't even remember why I started texting him, but I had texted him something. He had replied I Te Reo Māori. I then replied I Te Reo Māori. Then we started having this kōrero, and he was like, you know, why did you go to kura this year? And so then I was talking, you know, I was at, kei te whakautu au, you know, I was replying to him. And it was just, I don't know how, it might have been an hour of, and I mean, it's texting, so it's a little bit different to kōrero, because you kind of have the space to stop and read the word and check te aka very quickly and then put it in there. But I was amazed that we just had this whole kōrero, be it very simple.
Yeah.
But just how it came, not naturally, but I didn't want to text them in English.
Yeah.
And I didn't really have a need to.
Do you know, I have to actually mihi to you, Kiani, for the fact that from day one you weren't scared to use what you have. And I think I genuinely have seen it inspire our classmates, and it certainly inspired me that, like, oh, like, and I know that one of the lessons is kawe whakamā, but how you actually overcome that, how you actually patu that taniwha, actually looks different for everyone. And you've just been such a great role model because you're so chatty. And so I don't, but it's the casualness of it that
I've watched other people in our class just respond to you because you're chatting, you know. They're not being asked to stand up and get something perfect. You're just asking about their weekend or telling them something. And it's that that chattiness which I find really helpful because it's like, oh, I'll just tell you what I did last night or a funny thing that I heard. So you've been massive for me in, just getting rid of that whakamaa. So kia ora e hua.
Ah, how about you? how are you finding it?
I am loving every single second of being in a space that opens up something in me every single day. And like, it's bloody hard. It's hard. It's hard to remember the kupu. It's hard to try and get your sentence structures the right way. But one thing I don't have is whakamā. Yeah. Like, I'm just like, oh, fuck, bro. Yeah. I'm here to kōrero, so kei kōnei au. But I am finding at this present time, wiki tua waru, tua iwa, tua waru. So 8 weeks in, and because I tēnei wiki ko nēni kā te kaiako nē, Nanny Carr Williams is our kaiako for our akomanga. Our kaiako is away sick at the moment, and so Nanny Carr has stepped in to teach our class for this week. And I was just saying to you earlier, Leonie, that this is how we are meant, we as tangata Māori are meant to learn at the feet of our kaumātua and kuia, ne? And this week, oh, e moke moke ana au, tino moke moke I tōku kaumātua. Like, I've just been this real, I don't know, sense of really missing my nan and koro. And one of the things I was talking to someone about the other day was going through this whole process of nuku, I really had my nan on my mind. And that kind of wahine toa, that pau wahine, that intergenerational kōrero from wahine to wahine. But this haerenga, I te reo Māori, I've got my koro on my mind. And he died in 2009. That was a long time ago now. But he's been like on my heart and on the tip of my tongue all week. And I think also because we've been learning about te marae this week, and that was my papa's, you know, te whare, I want to say tuarua, but actually te whare tuatahi. That was his first and most favourite place to be, was in the marae. And so I'm feeling right now at this very second, right on the edge of tears, but I'm just feeling very, I don't know. I'm so happy in the decision that I made to do this year. And I'm so happy and yet so tino pōuri at the same time because it's just this most beautiful way of learning. And because I'm such a hōhonu person, very deep, if I try and find the tikanga in every single thing everywhere, this week has been very much me sitting in that deep space of trying to unpack what this journey is for me, my whānau. And I think it's just because, you know, Nanny Kā, Te Marae, like all of these kind of things that are very familiar to my upbringing is right in my face.
And the other cool aspect about the Rūmaki Reo is, because I think we've all done like classes, whether they're night classes or little sporadic things here or there, is the wānanga process that comes with learning the language. Like, you're not just being kind of talked at, you get to whakawhitina kōrero, tōkaiako, mena tauira. It's really interesting because you go so much deeper than you probably ever would in just like a 1 hour class a week or something like that.
I love finding out what like each of our classmates does in their other life, because a lot of them have come from kaupapa Māori jobs or study or organisations or whatever, and it just reminds me that no matter what level each of our reo is at, everyone knows something that you don't know. Yeah. So heaps of that wānanga has been, you know, in te wā kai, just finding out that, oh, our classmate's done a master's on Ngā Manawa Te Moana, and this one's like an amazing weaver, and you know, there's so much mātauranga even in our amongst our classmates. It's awesome.
Yeah, I've got a yoga instructor.
Got a yoga instructor.
Well, with that in mind, it's a very beautiful segue. We all work in media, film. Well, one of us works in film, but that kind of space, that public media storytelling space. I really want to know, what has been your experience as a wahine Māori in those spaces when you didn't have or didn't have as much reo as you wanted to have in comparison to now, and where you see your space and role being moving forward, like just within this industry?
Well, in the beginning, I te timata o tōku haerenga kei te mahi whakapakipumeka. I didn't know anything, really. I had a deep desire to and want to participate in that, but I felt like I couldn't really participate fully because I didn't quite know. There wasn't, everything wasn't kind of gelling together. And I probably, well, not so much like missed out on opportunities, but I just think this is going to deepen and strengthen what I already want and love to do and work in this space. Because I've always wanted to support Māori, especially wahine Māori, in spaces that we don't occupy a lot of, like kaihautū directors, for example, whatever. You know, we've got a lot of producers out there, but we don't have a lot of wahine Māori actually calling the shots, because it's been a very male-dominated space. Because a lot of our tānema have te reo, and a lot of our women haven't. And that's just how it's been, whatever. So there's no point lamenting on that. So how do we change it? We participate in it. So I just feel like I'm going to be able to strengthen my own desire to continue that journey.
What about you?
Yeah, so my first role in kaupapa Māori media was at Mana magazine, and it was about as deep a deep end as you could possibly get thrown into as a young journalist.
Yes, I remember.
There's no universe in which I should have been put in charge of that magazine, but I was the only one, like literally the only person in Tāmaki Makaurau who had writing and editing experience and whakapapa Māori, but I had no reo. And so it's ridiculous that I was editing that magazine. But that said, every single day was an amazing learning curve. And my rotaki just became, I'm just the vehicle for these other amazing kaimahi and tangata rongonui and just all these amazing people that live and work in te ao Māori and speak te reo Māori. I will just whakamana them, and hopefully no one will notice that I don't really deserve to be here. And in the end, you know, the magazine only lasted for 3 years after I took over. So,
and I just want to point out that wasn't because you did a bad job. So
thank you very much.
Let's just make that very clear.
There were, external factors. Kiane was my right-hand wahine at Mana, who wrote and photographed and helped with, it wouldn't have succeeded without you. I had some.
Whatever.
It would not have. And then after that, it was just sort of like a bit of a picker path, which again is lucky because it was like there weren't any other Māori writer editors. We're so lucky in terms of how many orators we have in Māori media on radio and television, but until very recently, there's been a dearth of writers. And we're starting to see those numbers lifting, which just honestly fills my heart, because about 2 years ago I was like at my wit's end. I was like, I'm not experienced enough, a writer or editor or teacher or mentor or anything like that, to nurture a generation of writers. And I've never had a Māori writing mentor, not in media. There's been lots of people in the biz who have mentored me and been an incredible support. Shout out Mihi Ngarangi and Annabelle. But as far as writing and editing goes, I haven't had anyone. And when I left my role to come to Rūmaki Reo, we still couldn't find anyone to replace me. So, like, things are getting better, but it's still hard. I'm not sure I want to shoulder the responsibility of it, but that's because I think because I'm having my selfish year for the first time.
Tata katoa.
So I don't want to think about responsibility to others just for this year. I mean, aside from my immediate family and friends, obviously, because, yeah, it does, it's a lot to shoulder, especially when you feel inexperienced, which I have certainly done for the entirety of my career in media.
When I think about my experience in media, like my first media job was with Mana Magazine when I first left uni. And since, like, I worked with Mana, and then I did a bunch of freelancing stuff, and then I worked with Specific Magazine, and then I did more freelancing stuff, and then I started my business. And since I've started my business, I haven't worked in-house. Mm. I've always worked, you know, as a freelance contractor or whatever. And I guess what I haven't experienced is people feeling like they're the only Māori in that space, that they have to shoulder the burden of carrying the mātauranga. Because I've been that one step further, I'm like, well, in my space, I'm fine because I don't have to worry about what anybody else says or thinks around me. It's just me and whoever I choose to come into my space. So I haven't necessarily had the experience of being in a space where I shoulder that, where I shoulder the burden of carrying the mātauranga in a sense, because I have had it in other spaces. I have had it in many other spaces, just not in a newsroom. But one thing that I have really thought about, particularly in the last sort of, you know, few months, is how much there is a lack of basic Māori knowledge within so many print media outlets.
It's ridiculous.
And I read, I feel like this quarter is going a bit off track, but that's right. Kate Pye. I read articles that, you know, say whānaus. Or that just don't have the right macrons in the right place, or don't have a macron at all. And actually, it's not until now when I sit down and learn te reo Māori that I notice those things.
Right.
And that has been a real interesting observation as someone who has worked in media for 15, 16, 17 years, so 16, whatever, to have not noticed it as much as I do now.
Yeah.
And then to think, okay, well, what does that actually mean? Now that I've noticed it,
yeah,
do I now have a responsibility to say something to āwhina I a rātou? Or do we just need more people? Like, you know, there's this thing around te reo Māori. And the other thing is, I don't want to be that person where I'm like, no, your Māori's wrong. Because actually that's not how we learn either. By doing it in negative, you know, in a growly negative way. But it has shone a light on how much print errors there are. And print is like on that piece of paper. It's not going anywhere. Like online you can change it or correct it. But
to know Pākehā media is useless. And I've started to deliberately as well differentiate. I hate this word mainstream media. It's just Te Reo Pākehā media and Te Reo Māori media. Like, those are the only differences.
Although there's also kaupapa Māori media that's not Te Reo Māori.
Te Reo Pākehā media and kaupapa Māori media. And Te Reo Pākehā media, as much as people are trying to change things and saying lots of good things about changing stuff, lack the basic knowledge and how to make those changes, but they think they do. You know what I mean? Like, the intention to be better seems to be sufficient, not the hiring of more Māori editors and the hiring of more Māori writers, or even just asking people to check stuff. you know, like having someone on staff that can just be like, oh, holy shit, you can't print that. That's terrible. Or, oi, kei te tika.
Or contracting it out.
Exactly.
And when I say contracting it out, I mean contracting it out, not just messaging your mate and yes, going. Yes,
that's a massive problem.
He tika tēnei.
Oh, you speak te reo. Can you just translate this for me? And it's like, if you think about the same thing in Te Reo Pākehā, people pay copywriters to write text in English a lot of money because they're particularly good at that language. Like, the guy down the road might speak English. That doesn't necessarily mean he can be a copywriter for a radio station or an advertising agency. But then I get messages all the time from people who work in high-level positions and, like, agencies and stuff. They're like, can you just tell me how to say this? So you can pay me.
It's kind of that koha conversation, eh, that we have sometimes, that maybe it's a concept Pākehā I've cottoned onto, and they're just like, oh, they do all these things for koha. Fantastic. what's that? Is that a drink? Is that a coffee? Is it? So, no, it's not a fucking coffee, actually. It's some money. But we kind of probably do that to ourselves sometimes, eh? Because we want to uffy our mates or whatever. And sometimes we undervalue our own mātauranga and our own knowledge and what we bring to the table, because we're kind of in that space of we want to bring everyone up together, so we're just going to give as much as we can, sometimes to our detriment, to our health. But we do have to be better about pulling up our Pākehā counterparts who work in these spaces and just expect shit for free and or a coffee and a cake. Mm-hmm. No thanks.
Yeah. $12 bottle of wine?
Yeah. That it's actually worth something. And if they're even asking you, oh, do you know that anyone can? Yeah, I do, and it's going to cost us much money, probably. So
there's a pātai that one of our Nuku followers sent us. So I te ata nei, earlier today, or this morning, e pātai au kia rātou i runga I te pai āhua. So I asked them a question on Instagram, do you have any pātai for us? And a number of people replied, and one person said, as a learner, how does the growing responsibility of being a kaitiaki of your reo impact your journey? And I thought that would be a good one for us to wānanga. Hia o kōrua whakaaro. As a learner, how does the growing responsibility of being a kaitiaki of our reo impact your journey?
I mean, for me, I mean, Chau summed it up earlier. I'm in kohanga reo right now. I couldn't possibly shoulder any responsibility yet. So right now, it only impacts my reo journey in that I have decided and understood that I'm a pepe, and that's the only way that I'm going to be able to whakakaha tōku reo rangatira, is if I don't have any delusions about what level I'm at what's the phrase in English? Throwing the cart before the horse. You know, I've got to crawl before I can walk. So I don't personally feel any responsibility to be a kaitiaki o te reo, because there's so many awesome ones already, and they're the ones that I'm looking to now.
And, you know, that kupu by itself, kaitiaki, guardian, or to take care of, whatever, it's like, well, that's everyone's responsibility. The person who asked that pātai, that's your responsibility too. What are you up to, bro? Like, or sis, you know? Sis. Like, okay, kia ora, sis.
Hey, we're not mad at her. She asked a nice question.
true.
We actually love her. I do, anyway.
Not mad at you. But also, you know, it's everyone's responsibility. Aye. Pākehā mā, Māori mā. Go back to the treaty. It was in there. It's a taonga. Like, people forget that reo Māori was a taonga and it should have been looked after from day dot. So we're scrambling having to get that back because it was never taken care of or looked after by who it should have been looked after in the first place. So it's not just one person's responsibility. It's everybody's.
I have a slightly different opinion. Not opinion, experience, I suppose. And that I agree with you both. And I also feel a sense of responsibility. And I have a sense, I feel a sense of responsibility in two ways. One, I'm making this podcast. I'm not making this podcast because it's funded. I'm making this podcast. I am making this podcast because I believe that it will help and encourage more wahine taketake to learn their language, whether that be te reo Māori, te reo Tonga, whatever it be. I'm making this podcast so that we can share our journeys and our whakaaro and our experiences to help patua te whakamā for other people. And so I feel a sense of responsibility in the sense that because I'm not someone who's shy and because I'm someone who has the ability to reach the people that I can now reach, that I should.
Because you're a leader, girl. You're a leader.
Not because of that. Not because of that, but because I just have this whakaaro that not everyone can pay to come to Rumaki Reo. Kei te pai. So what can we share in little bits and pieces that can help people who can just do what they can do? And so I feel a sense of responsibility in that sense. You know, everyone who listens to Nuku, that's my whānau. But also I have a sense of responsibility, or I feel that I have a growing responsibility as a māma. And I don't know that I don't know that either of these whakautu, either of these answers actually answer this particular question, but I have a growing responsibility as a māma for what and how I teach my kōtiro. And every week my whakaaro changes around how I want her to show up in this world. And I thought I had that on lock, you know. I thought I had that kind of plan on lock. This is what I want for my kōtiro. This is how I'm going to manaaki her on this ara, on this pathway. And now, as every week goes by, I'm like, she needs to know this. She needs to learn this. I also have a responsibility to teach her this. And I guess I go back to this kind of kōrero of this week, te marae, and I think how many people in my whānau actually deeply understand the tikanga of our marae. We're all marae whānau. Yeah. We live and breathe our marae. We live next door to it. But how many of us actually understand what that pō means and represents from a tikanga perspective? That isn't just this is the pūrākau of that pō, but this is what this pō means I te ao Māori.
Yeah.
This is why we do this. Because we do it, we don't necessarily learn why we do it.
Yeah.
And so I guess for me there's a growing responsibility in how I share my mātauranga, my mātauranga that I'm learning, not just reo, but the mātauranga that comes with the reo, the tikanga that comes with the reo, with my whānau, with my kōtiro. But I also completely agree that it's not just the responsibility of the learners. It's not just the responsibility of those who kōrero Māori. It's everybody's responsibility. It's not just the responsibility of Māori. It's everybody's responsibility. And fuck any referendum that says we need to have a discussion around whether co-governance is a thing, which is completely relevant to this conversation too. But Katie Pai, let's just keep it on the...
There's that whakaaro tue around the difference, the rerekē between a Western ideology or mindset and an Indigenous ideology and mindset. And in a Western ideology and mindset, you believe that you're born with rights. And for an Indigenous mindset, you're born with responsibilities. So you have all these responsibilities to your whānau, hapū, iwi. That's a lot, and that covers a lot, including te reo, but covers so many other things. So I think it's just, man, it is a busy thing to try and have all of that, you know? Whereas in te reo Pākehā, or in a Pākehā mindset, you're just like, well, I want the right to do this and that and whatever I bloody well want. It's like, hang on a minute, bro. Like, you're not even thinking about past, present, future. But if you are born with that mindset of I have a responsibility to the past, my present, and the future, you can't just be all about one thing.
And I guess the bit that I missed out on my whakautu was how does that impact your journey? And actually, it doesn't impact my journey. Because my journey, all of it is my journey.
Aye,
all of it, all of these kinds of kōrero, all of this whakaaro, this kind of wānanga around it. It's all part of the journey.
Aye.
So it doesn't have an external impact on the journey. It's part and parcel Aye. Of the journey.
I'm not even thinking of this as a journey anymore. It's just my life.
Aye.
Because journey implies an end point of learning te reo Māori, you know, like, oh, how's the te reo journey or the pehea to a haerenga. And it's like, well, I guess the journey ends when I die. So there's not really much point in using that metaphor anymore.
And my question about that is, are you going to ask your whānau to put your body up in the rākau
<Yeah. laughs> and
have
my
the kuia with their long fingernails like, scratch off your kiko?
We're learning some deep mātauranga about how tūpuna looked after tū pāpaku and how they were interred, and man...
Do you know
about the sitting in the tree and being bound to the tree until, you know, the mana when the bugs and the lizards and whatnot had cleaned you down to your bones. I did know that, but I did not know about our wahine tapu who used their long nails tapu. To strip away the last of the mea on the koiwi. I was like, man, that's a real intense image. It kind of made me shudder, but in like a way that felt really good. Like, and I could see some of my classmates were really struggling with the mental image of that. But I was just like, oh, that's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I just want to point out, though, that all of those wahine out there who just had their manicures.
Why?
Now imagine underneath them.
No.
That does bring me to my next kōrero because – I couldn't think before we started this recording today. I was like, oh, what kupu am I going to talk about that's like my favourite kupu that had this really awesome root meaning? And there are a number, but one of my pahu te roro moments, my mind exploding moments, was basically that pūrākau of those wahine who rinse off the last of your flesh from your bones, and your flesh being your kiko. And then te ao kiko kiko and te ao wairua, and I was like, oh, te ao kiko kiko in the world of like flesh with the fleshy people. And then te ao wairua, the spiritual floaty people. But in my head I was like, oh, kiko, te ao kiko kiko. And I have heard te ao kiko kiko my whole life.
Yeah.
But finally I've learned what that actually means. And I love learning those sorts of things. And I love the hohonutanga. I just want to point out, if you're listening to this podcast and I've said things wrong or my reringa kōrero is wrong, kei te pai.
Hi,
it's okay. This podcast is all about us also practicing our reo. So by episode 10, there shouldn't be any mistakes. But, you know, don't be too harsh. Also, if you're following it, just check with someone else if you're going to copy what we've said before you say it.
The
kupu ho, I'm pretty sure, will be correct, but the reringa kōrero, the way that the sentences are structured, may not be correct. But, yeah, ngā kupu ho. Heaha te kupu ho pai. What has been one of your best favourite words that's had a deeper meaning to it? And te ao kiko kiko wasn't one of them, but it was a nice segue.
One of mine was like yours because it's a word I have known forever, and it was whakaero, which is our carving tradition practice and the name of the carvings themselves, whakaero. But whakaero, I never really thought of it as having a root word, which is iro, and the iro is he momo huhu, like a little grub that burrows into wood. So the practice of whakaero is like being like that huhu. And I just thought that was so cool, like just discovering that, you know, this word that we're all so familiar with is actually our tūpuna reflecting the natural world. You know, I will be like the iro, I will whakaero tēnei rākau. Yeah, that was a real pahu te roro moment for me. I was like, oh, that's cool.
Mm, Yeah, so much relationship with our world.
Right? Yeah.
With each group of...
Entrepreneurs so intelligent.
Yeah. For me, was a word that we just learnt today, actually, because we're doing the whole marae and everything in and around that. And I think you just kind of take it for granted. Eh? You're like, yeah, marae, wharekai, wharetipuna. That's about it. But you don't really go deep in it until you're kind of, yeah, really having a wānanga about the kupu. One of the kupu today was pū moto moto. And Jamala Kayaka was talking about within the wharenui, and you've got all these beautiful carvings that are, you know, lining these walls, and you're imagining them. They are your tūpuna. They are your ancestors. And this pū moto moto is like the fontanel. And all this beautiful knowledge that is being transferred from the atua down through them to you. And then it's so cyclical because you're in there and you're perhaps having wānanga or kōrero and whakawhiti, all this kōrero back and forth. And it just like, for me, I was just visualizing this amazing like scene going on. I'll probably make a kick-ass film, actually. Like, you know, it's just like, whoa. So just, yeah, the visualization of a kupu in and of itself is just amazing.
Oh, can I do another one?
Oh, I suppose so.
Again, it was a word that we all know, mokopuna. And this was a kōrero from Nene Ka one day. And she is really great at being like, you know, put a word that you all know in front of you and be like, but what does it mean? No, but what does it mean? You're like, oh, I don't know. So puna within there is a word a lot of us knew, meaning like a well or a spring or a pool. But she was like, and why is moko in there? What's a moko? We're all like, oh, a tattoo. And then her explanation of it was like, and she's like, yeah, but why is it on a grandchild? Why is it on a child? And essentially her kōrero was, you know, each of your ancestors carried pāmoko, matoho, moko kauai, etc. And your mokopuna, like the child who's the last, the most recent generation, essentially the moko of each of their tūpuna is inside of them. It's part of their DNA, like she sort of mixed the kōrero with talk about sort of DNA, which was like a Pākehā whakaaro, but actually when you're talking about whakapapa, tātai whakapapa and te ao Māori DNA is actually like quite a present concept because they had those concepts of the things that, like the pieces that you're made up of. So mokopuna is an expression of each of the moko that your tūpuna carry, which are etched on your DNA. Oh, we're
beautiful.
Stop it, Nene.
What about whakaute?
Oh, whakaute.
Sing the song. So how do you spell that in English?
Sorry, can you do it again?
Except, hey, I've got to know the poo. Whakaute. R-E-S-B-T. Find out what it means to me. Whakaute. No, that's not wrong. Whakaute.
Anyway. I just laughed that. I'm pretty sure I heard you spell respect wrong, but you spelled whakaute correct.
Oh, okay, sweet.
So,
see,
kei te pai. Kei te pai.
My writer
was already
around now. R-E-S-P-C-T-E. Whakaute. Hi, respect.
You just like whakaute because you can sing the waiata with it.
I thought I could, but it's... can you edit that out? Shame.
It can't.
I don't care, I'm making happers all over the place.
We don't have budget for editing. actually, that kind of whakaaro around kōrero Pākehā, kōrero Māori, I wanted to ask you guys because I find it really hard to kōrero Pākehā in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
Or even at the end of the day. And so... it's already in my head that I'm so used to kōrero Māori that when I go to kōrero Pākehā, I'm like, ugh, that sounds wrong. But once I get in the swing of it, like this podcast, like kei te pai, it's fine. Right. Like kōrero Pākehā is fine. But e muri I te rā, like muri I te wāhanga tuatoru, the third period of class, if someone speaks to me in Pākehā, I'm like, oh, like shuddering, like, no, don't speak that language to me.
I went to the shop just before and I asked them where the miraka was. Yeah, no, I actually did an interview recently on my podcast, Near. You can find it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts.
Maybe we'll find some budget to edit that bit out, naked boy.
Actually, someone in our class got up this morning and spoke about your podcast.
What? I'm sorry. You all better tomorrow. You both better get up and speak about this bloody podcast.
I was talking to Kuru Jews, who's one of my co-hosts, who's a wonderful speaker, and Hemi Kelly, who's a kaiako of Te Reo Māori. And I was basically saying exactly the same thing, like, oh, I hate speaking Te Reo Pākehā now. Do you guys just hate it? And they were like, no. And so I was like, oh, is this just like an obnoxious phase that we're all going to go through as Rūmaki Tauira? We were just going to be like, we hate Te Reo Pākehā. I mean, I'm fine with that.
I love it when, you know, like, it just simple stuff. Kia ora on the phone every time you answer it, whatever. Right. And then you start noticing that people that you normally talk to who would normally say hello are now responding, whaku te I te reo Māori. They are saying kia ora back to you because they actually get, oh, okay, yeah, you say that, I'm going to say it back to you. There's this kind of like beautiful respect happening.
But I think that whakaro also comes from a place of loss and then gain. Because I have this thing up. I now, when my daughter speaks English, I'm just like, oh, kōrero Māori. Like, I'm trying so hard to wake up this reo. Actually, that was one thing my cousin said. He, you know, when that, my cousin I was texting about earlier in the kōrero, when he said, you know, what do you want to get out of this? And I was like, I want to return Te Reo Māori to my whānau. And he was like, oh, e kao, you know, whakaoho te reo, just wake it up, it's already there, whakaoho. And so I was having that, yeah, beautiful whakaro, like, your reo's not lost, it's just asleep, whakaoho te reo. And so I kind of think that now with my daughter, I'm like, oh, kawe, kōrero Pākehā, like kōrero Māori or kōrero Tonga, but oh, kawe, kōrero Pākehā. But I think it's just that, you know, it was lost for so long, you're just starting to get some of it back, and you just want to be immersed in it to the point where you feel like you have it before you then go and not dismiss it, but you choose another language over it for conversation.
I love being able to go home. Like, now my girls kind of choose the kēmu that are Māori, like that, they're just those little takaro games, and they're playing those games rather than whatever on their iPads all the time. Which, yeah, okay, they're on quite a lot. But that, just those little changes I can see in my whare already. And this, I kept this note that my daughter wrote to me. I put on the fridge. And I don't know why she did this, but she wrote this note and put it, made an aeroplane out of it, paper aeroplane, and just threw it at me one day. I was like, that's what are you up to? But I read it and I was bawling my eyes out because she wrote in there, like, you know, beautiful. It's in Te Reo Pākehā, but she was saying, you know, I love you, Mum, and I'm so proud of you for learning the Te Reo Māori, and I hope you're proud of me too that I'm trying to speak. And just like all these, like, oh my God, you know, I was just like, wow, she's only 9, but she's like saying, she's mihiing to me to thank me for supporting her at home. It's just this beautiful exchange that we're having at the moment. Yeah, it's really lovely.
We're at the end. Like, we're in real glass. my wai mura mura, my bubbly water, is
Kua pau.
is now finished. But our kōrero has come to that point in time as well. And I am so impressed is not the right word. I think it is this kōrero and the amount of kōrero Māori that we have and kupu Māori and reringa kōrero Māori within it is beyond my expectation of where I thought we would be right now.
Right.
And I already put it out there that, you know, our episode 10 will hopefully be all in Te Reo Māori. And when I first put it out there, I was like, this nervous laugh. And now I'm like, wow, I think it's like might be episode 8. No, I'm not going to put it out there, but I think that it could be possible. More
yeah,
so.
It's possible.
More so. But
more so possible. The girl inside it might not be perfect, but it's definitely possible.
Yeah. 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 Listen, but don't learn from us. I
the
do.
Only thing you take away.
Yeah, yeah. But I do want to ask you both. Again, this is another podcast with three people who are in Rūmaki Reo. And Rūmaki Reo is not something that everyone has the ability to do, whether it's because they don't have the ability to take a year off or they don't have, you know, it does cost money. Or it might be because there's not a Rūmaki Reo that's close to where they live. There's a number of reasons why. And Rūmaki Reo is not the only way that you can learn Te Reo Māori. It is only one way. What I wanted to ask you both is, what are some tips that you have learned so far in your journey around Te Reo Māori, some tips, some advice, some little, you know, pointers that can help anyone regardless of how they're learning, whether they're doing it on their own or the pukapuka, whether they're just doing it by listening to people that speak Te Reo Māori, or whether they're in a formal teaching scenario. What advice do you have? And I suppose that advice would be relevant for anyone learning any language.
For me, I think one thing that I knew I wanted to do because, you know, we all got the kōrero from Papatāwhiri I te rātaua in the interview, like, it's going to be full-time, and then like, learn all this kapu and all these reading, he ain't got time for another job. And like, so it's just like, okay, sweet ass, what am I going to do? Oh, my God. That I actually kind of was like, okay, I'm going to talk to my friends and people that who know me and love me and who I would see all the time, but I'm going to be brave enough to say, you know what, I might not be spending much time with you this year because I'm going to try and immerse myself as much as I can in Te Reo Māori, and please don't be offended by that. But or I might just try and speak to you in Te Reo Māori and you might not know what I'm saying because I probably don't know what I'm saying either. But please just be patient with me. And, you know, I think it's okay to be brave to say that and allow people to understand that this is something that you really want and have wanted for a long time. And to do anything you can to surround yourself outside of just a learning thing. Even if it is one night a week you're going to learn for an hour, what other supplementary things can you do? And we're lucky, we have Pauaka Whakaata, we can watch it, or amazing podcasts we can listen to, or just try and have as much Reo around you as possible. Some people can't even get to the marae, like, to even have that experience. But I think we're lucky, you know, our parents' generations or whatever didn't have all those resources. We have them, so take advantage of them. They're out there.
My advice would just be, think about where you spend time and whakamāori it. So I spend, as a lot of us do, let's be honest, a lot of time on Instagram. So you just make sure that you are following all the really great Reo Māori Instagram accounts that are out there. There's Everyday Māori, there's Te Kura Jews, there's My More Creative. Like, there's so many cool people making Te Reo Māori content. You go to Spotify and you find those Reo Māori, Waiata Māori playlists, and you put those on when you're in the car. You listen to Reo Māori podcasts. I really recommend Taringa. I think, and what stopped me from listening to it for a while, because I thought it was a learning Te Reo Māori podcast. It's not. So if you've ever thought, oh, it's been going for so long, I would have to catch up, you can literally jump in at any point. What Taringa is a bilingual exploration of Te Ao Māori. So sometimes they talk about kupu and grammar. Sometimes they talk about a particular mita from a certain area. Sometimes they talk about pūrākau or ki waha. And then on the show, they've got Paroni Groin, who's obviously like tino matatau. And then the third host is a young woman named Erica, and she's she can speak, but she's sort of still in the learning phase. So they make sure that she understands what's being said. And if they're introducing a new kiwaha or a new word, then like they ask her to help explain what it is or whatever. So it just, you can understand it at any level, and it's funny and it's informative, and So I really love that. And yeah, just there's free resources everywhere. And the other piece of advice I got given the other day is just instead of sort of trying to go, oh, I'll dedicate a whole evening to this or a whole day to this, I'll get to it. Just dedicate 10, 15 minutes a day to it. Open your, you know, Stacey and Scotty book just for 10, 15 minutes a day if that's the only resource that you have.
I think one of the things that I've been doing recently is I find one new kupu and then just try and focus on using that kupu in a number of different ways. Or using it as much as I can, just that one new kupu. And it might be that I use it to, I don't know, in a sentence that's all Māori, or I might speak a Pākehā sentence and then just throw that Māori kupu in the middle of it. So long as I use it, and the reason being is that if I use it as much as I can, I then, you know, tuhiai tōkurai, write it on my forehead, but I also get a really good understanding of how it's used because I'm using it often and in lots of different ways, and I'm finding ways to use it that it helps to stick it in my head. And I realized doing it that way was so much better than trying to learn five kupu and then going, hey, I've got to remember all these five. I was like, actually, what's the rush? you know, learn this one, learn it in all these different ways, and then when you think you've got it, learn the next one and do the same thing. And soon you build up your vocabulary. And the kupu that I've been trying to learn have been those connecting kupu, the mehemea, the nā te mea, the, you know, engari. And so I might do a whole thing in English. Oh, I'm going to go over there, engari, and then just throw the engari in there. Yeah. But blah, 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 blah. So that's my tip. I just wanted to add one more thing, and I think it's just because I'm feeling it in my body. One really, really bloody cool thing that happened this week. Just thinking about how learning te reo Māori has opened up something else within my mind. Not something else, but, you know, I'm noticing these things being opened, is that 10 years ago, 10 plus years ago, I first listened to a waiata called Takawirihanga, which is a waiata that was written about the whakapapa of poi. And it was a beautiful waiata, and I'd listened to it at a party at my auntie's whare in Ahipara. And we all started singing it, and I was like singing along to it. And someone else was like, oh, this waiata is so beautiful, and it's about the whakapapa of poi. And then Poi 360 was made by those amazing wahine. And I think that waiata, pretty sure that waiata was part of Poi 360. And so I'd heard it again. I was like, I know that waiata. It's very beautiful. And I listened to it because it was beautiful. 2 days ago, I was sitting in the car and had my Spotify on shuffle. And it was just on shuffle, whatever. It wasn't even on a playlist. You know, you play one Māori song and then it just starts introducing more songs that are similar. It was on shuffle and Takawirihanga came on. And I didn't even know that it was on Spotify. And as I was driving, I started bawling my eyes out because I understood what that song was about. And it wasn't just, it's a beautiful waiata that's about the whakapapa of poi. I was like, I actually know what they're saying, and now I understand the whakapapa of poi. And it was like, you know, ka moe a tāne ki a, now I've got to like remember the kupu, but, you know, ka puta ko harakeke. And I was like, I know what that means. And I think that's just one thing that I really wanted to talk about on this podcast, even though I'm going over time. But it came out of the blue. I didn't expect it. I heard it and it was just like, whoa, I know what that is. And that's 10 years since first hearing it. That's how amazing this, that's how amazing it feels to learn te reo Māori.
To connect, and to actually marama, understand. Because sometimes you can be wherever or listening to anything or a mihi or whatever whaikorero, and in the past, yeah, just tune out because I have no idea what keeps going on. But slowly more and more, right. I'm like, oh my God, I can hang in there and I can listen a little bit longer because I'm, oh, holy, I can actually understand what you're saying, Papatāwhiri. Oh my gosh, I actually got that. Yeah. But so slowly, just building and building more, even our kayako, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, there's something so beautiful about going, whoa, I can feel myself being drawn in.
Aye.
Into this world. Yeah. It's beautiful.
And I had a similar moment just this morning, actually, thinking about how to end our whakapuaki, which is our first sort of oral assessment that we've got coming up. And these words just sort of rose to my mind, and it was part of a haka I did in kapa haka in high school, because I was thinking about, you know, he kākano ho i ruia i rangi ātea, and as a whakatauke. And then these words sort of rose up in my mind, e harataku mana i te mana hau, he mana tawhito no ku tūpuna i rui mai i rangi ātea. So this mana of mine is, the sovereignty of mine is not new, it's the mana of my ancestors, and we're just seeds sown by rangiātia. And then I had the same moment, like, oh, I understand those words and they mean exactly what I need to say, and they're not just something that I'm just proudly, you know, rocking across the Polyfest stage and saying as loud as I can, because that's what I did when I learnt those. At exactly the same moment, I was just like, oh.
So we're all going to go have a tangi now. but we're going to catch you up. Hōtakatua toru, episode 3. Thank you both. Oh, just thank you.
Kia ora, hua. Oh, hua.
Iara. No ke thank te you.
Ka kite.